So they refuse to trust even the owners. They're making it possible now that everything is recorded and it's taken off the shelf. The shelf will do the recording. This object will be removed and found that missing. And they put it back, they'll record back. So this is exactly what's going to happen. The shells are going to do the count now, and when the box, the character, the flash box, will do a recording. So you can't even walk on the store and say you didn't take it. That really put ourselves in our own position. But, that's, again, individuals in their own position. So oxygen gives you the consciousness. Nitrogen gives you the willpower to stick things out. And hydrogen gives you the desire. And carbon dioxide is a waste gas. It comes after you breathe, not before you breathe. So you can fart after you take your first breath. You can burp after you take your first breath.
But not ill. There's no
farting
until
any
time. This,
the
big part?
It's after the cord is cut and you take your breath, then you can fart. Not before. Try as you like, your body ain't gonna do it. You'll bubble up through your mouth
like a champagne bottle, but you'll never fart
till you breathe through your nostrils, till your valves are open. When the valves are
thick, you can hear it very distinctly, very
loudly. So, there it is, right there in the natural set up for you to function. Once you understand it, then knowing that you're not locked into all the charades that the society is functioning with, you know for sure what's going on. Carbon dioxide now is called CD. C is for the constructive use of carbon dioxide. It will preserve you from breaking down once it's regulated. It will destroy you if you don't know how to regulate it. What you keep your food in after you take it out and serve us and put it back in? What do you call that?
Refrigerator.
What?
Refrigerator.
Oh, and what do you use to refrigerate it?
Condenser. It takes the heat out.
What kind of gas do you use in there?
Mm-hmm.
Dry eyes, but swirl, 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 carbon. 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 We only copying it, but the guy made a refrigerator, he allowed to copy the unit, and so what we got? Units to run. Ice been falling on the ground, have been made by Mother Nature centuries before we ever found out. Water falling from the sky, called rain, frozen by the environment. We chop it up for what? We got a fish to eat for next year?
Mm-hmm.
No, we can't carry the ice around with us because it's too big. So we invented what? A mechanical ketchup.
And then it vanished.
And that's what your body is. Carbon dioxide inside you has this capacity. Other instruments can be now made to duplicate it.
So what is the difference
between
the
accumulation of carbon dioxide,
which is signified as karma or something that's not breathing, and a carbon dioxide that will contribute and stabilize you for in the cell?
Ever defrost
the refrigerator? No, I already said you have the answer right here. Then somebody said, hi, Pam! You failed to do this. How do you react? You pull in and see?
Mm-hmm.
Then are you temporarily traumatized or temporarily refrigerated?
I'm okay.
Good. Hi, Pam. I'm glad you sent that thing over. We are very appreciative of your generosity. How do you do now? You freeze up or you cook? Or you bubble over? You do what? You see, your temperature control in terms of it becomes what? An asset or a deficit. So when you bubble up now,
It's the same carbon dioxide that you have some like champagne. When you cool down, you're feeling like a tea guy or a rat. But the same voice that said, hi, Pam. But what they say after hi, Pam is what makes you freeze or you cook. So if you are appreciated for whatever you've done, you can bubble up and feel like you're cooking. If you feel lousy for whatever you've done, you don't what, feel frozen. Do you see what the brain...
You have to be regulating the temperature of peace to be coming out there.
Yes. So there's no now, nobody does it to you but to yourself. So your best cure against anyone trying to freeze you or cook you is to do what?
He's a
No. In yoga they say you must be master of your emotions. What pose is that? Lion or lie off?
Lion.
Lie on to yourself or lie on yourself?
That's what's going on. King of your emotion? King of the beast in you?
So what do you do? Stick it down and laugh? Right. Or you accept yourself as a mirror?
Right,
good. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the youngest of them all? Ugliest of them all. We always want to know who is the nicest of them all. You don't want to know who is the youngest?
And then you open your eyes.
Yeah. Your mouth, in reference to the static, triggers the carbon dioxide. So either cool it down or pump it. So temperature relationship is set up to construct or break down in the carbon dioxide.
So you have to pick up more.
Congratulations. Now you understand.
But then there's another says you keep allowing
yourself
to be
stressed. So he says the best they let me. Sounds crazy, but you get hot. Then you laugh, right? You never get cold and you laugh. So he says, it only takes two muscles to laugh. It takes four muscles to front. And see, if you can't laugh, buy yourself a pair of two, take a breath in yourself. You are that special.
I was going to say, but not too wide, because
you're going to have a situation problem that way. So there again, there are extremes and you can't be too warm or too cold. You have to stay functional. And you notice what you're saying to yourself in the end is a hypo or a hyperfunction in transportation. So anytime you have a breakdown in the body, you can always go back to the fundamental function of something too fast or too slow. So your hydrogen regulates your desire. Your nitrogen regulates your power to stick it out. And your oxygen allows you to be conscious, to recognize, don't make it smart. And the carbon dioxide allows you to hang around or phase out.
That's what laughter takes, the saturated fat and unsaturated.
Congratulations. Biothermal reaction is an emulsifier.
That's what cleans your lungs out.
Good. We got one more thing now, and that is this particular word, and I want to see if you speak it and tell me what it means to you. Minerals have a function like that.
Chunk needs to go around, pass through, but not pick up, like the venous blood chunks through the lungs, and it doesn't pick up oxygen, it might give off carbon dioxide, or it might not even give off carbon dioxide. So your arterial blood goes up and has less amount of oxygen, greater amount of carbon dioxide, you've got big problems.
Anything else, sir? Anybody else?
Yeah, but
good.
Right?
You got all your sequence. What's the shunt for? Minerals have a power to do shunting.
The pressure nothing. It's just in the brain for brain trauma and you're allowed.
Good. Keep going. You got any more? Rishon?
Size rigor. Bow.
Good. Anything else?
I thought when you sent this one to me, I actually left its path and re-rooted it.
Congratulations. Keep crossing the line. You hear it. You're getting on the ball.
Don't you send it back? Burn the way it came up.
Keep talking.
That's all I know.
What good is a bulletproof vest to the person in front of you?
The person in front of it or the person wearing it?
Oh, I see. To the person who wears it important, not the one in front, right?
The photo, that's the one in front.
Oh, I see now. The one in behind it will do what?
Protect it.
Good, and that's what a shunt is. All it does. Protect. You have four organs set up by the clock in your body to protect other organs from breakdown.
Kidney should be one and heart should be one.
And you read the clock this way.
Lungs also. And intestine. I guess those are the four.
And the first one is from 3 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Lungs and heart.
And operates in two color spectrum. Mm-hmm.
Red and black.
Red and white. And that's a large intestine operating in two colors, one R for each color. And it's very easy to recognize because you've always got to have 2 hours and they break up into two colors. The ascending color is white in the large intestine and the descending color is the red. And the large intestine will act as a shunt. For the lungs against the stomach.
So the large intestine will act as a shunt?
For your lungs against the stomach. So when you're dying from eating too much and you don't go shit, you won't find out your lungs going to run out on you and they will bury you. Because your colon is clogged up. So they say cleanliness is next to godliness and godliness is life and breath. So you got to clean up your belly button in order to eat more. So nature done set it up already. That we begin our misery in our stomach and our mouth and we clog up our large intestine and before you know it, you're breathing heavy. And we don't get enough oxygen.
I'm breathing heavy.
Especially with
mucus. So this here is a shunt for the lungs. The large intestine is the shunt for your lungs. So you need to do spring cleaning. When spring comes around. And so if you're constipated, you know what is necessary. Now, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., the heart is the next shunt. It's in the orange and the yellow. And the heart protects the spleen from the what?
Small intestine.
So all the crap that is left in your small intestine from the many years of eating, your heart will take it, but then if your heart lets you down, what time of the day it usually does that?
He said 7. The heart usually runs out about
7
p.m. actually. I think
7
p.m.
What time do you think your heart lets you down?
11 to 1.
You always hear the person go into a restaurant, eat a big meal and fall over. And then when you look at what he eats, he's a pudgy belly, well fed.
You're right, too.
I don't think so. A heart transplant is not a heart attack. The heart gave out now, and it didn't act as a shunt between 1 o'clock.
Okay, you know, good.
So the small intestine overloaded the heart gave out.
This brings a question. With Buddha and that big belly, what's the correlation there?
You need to call me.
Well, Chama Buddha
too many
didn't
people.
Have a big belly. You're thinking of another Buddha.
The laughing Buddha.
The laughing Buddha.
What's his name? I know what you're talking about. And I know where you asked the question she asked. The Chinese are very smart people. They took that design to tell you, don't be like that. Otherwise, they'll bury you.
Ah.
And they put it in the place where food is served. You'll never find it in a temple. They call it the laughing Buddha. Yeah, they don't put it in no temple. You'll find the other kind of Buddha like this at the temple.
Yeah.
Very athletic looking. But the one that stands up like this.
He's at a restaurant. He's telling you, don't come and muck yourself up. Or else they'll bury you with a fat gut. Yeah, that's
what you
that's
do it for lucky. You rub his belly because you're lucky, it's not you.
Right. That's what I do. I said, thank you, man. I ain't there yet. I ain't going to get there either. I wasn't there before.
So the pot belly is their way of telling you not to be like that. Be sure when you eat, don't get into a pot belly state. So that's what laughing. So the shunt organ in the middle of the day is the heart or the spleen against the small intestine. Yeah.
If someone has a heart attack, do you see a heart attack at stomach time?
A heart attack at stomach time?
Uh-huh. Someone told me about that, and I said, the first thing I thought of was that pericardium was straight across. It's just, you know,
a heart attack at stomach time? Think of what you're saying. You know what stomach is vent-to-vent?
5 to 7?
Your stomach. What time is that?
5.
Look at your clock.
No, 7 to 9.
7 to 9. You get an attack at that time, you're not going to get it in your heart, friend.
They probably
have gas. I know that. So you're not going to get it in your heart because what? You'll get it right here. You're never going to hear?
Yeah, that's what they teach.
It's interesting, in fact, that this point is both a point for a heart attack and for stomach ulcers. You'll feel sore in the same place.
I know that.
You can misinterpret both.
It's all just a misinterpreted.
Heart attack usually is the arm, so or the neck.
You'll get it here. You'll never get it here. You'll get it here.
Is there anything associated with pericardium that is partially heart-related?
Your pericardium is what time?
9 months to 11.
7 months.
The opposite of stomach.
Opposite of clock. Anytime you get an attack in your pericardium, friend, you have a problem with your boyfriend or the opposite sex?
So, stomach time has nothing to do with something across from
your
pericardium.
So
it would have to happen in the
time. No, because then you get a pericardium attack, it's going to be between 7 and 9 o'clock in the evening. But the problem is, somebody that you were communicating with pissed you off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
And you like to give them a good shove in their face.
Uh-huh.
But hardly you find too many pericardium attacks. It's always more of a thyroid attack.
Thyroid. Your gallbladder too, gallbladder.
Right. But the pericardium is very rare because why? You more or less can patch it up. You can handle it better, but you can't handle the thyroid and the gallbladder, the barrier.
Okay.
So the pericardium will let you down in a heart transplant.
Because it's
this? The small intestine puts the load on the heart in the middle of the day, that's your ulcers. And your heart attacks are always going to be what? Monkey eating. And you go find these guys around 11, 12 o'clock, what? Gorging up in all kind of combination, then they come up. And if you got a pain in this area, you got ulcers.
That's at 1:30.
If you have a heart transplant, your kidney is going to be the shunt. over here. That's two colors. Green and blue. And it's going to let you down in a heart transplant. Because why? The heart was removed from the pericardium sac. And the transplant that was put in is not matching the same frequency. So the pericardium is going to overload now the kidney. And the kidney can't hold the load. It's the dialysis machine will shut down. And it's exactly at 6 o'clock going on to 7 o'clock in the evening. The patient had a beautiful heart transplant but died from what? Kidney failure. And it's all due to what? The pericardium not harmonically bonding with the new implant heart. The overload was too much. So if you say you have a pericardium overload, kidney will give out. But again, the real problem is not the heart. The real problem is that they're not bonding together. Now, between 11 o'clock and 1 o'clock, and that's in the indigo and violet, we run into the gallbladder. 9 times out of 10, a person having a gallbladder attack will feel the pressure coming from here towards the heart. And they'll fall over. 9 times out of 10, by the time anyone gets to them and get any medical attention, and by the time they pump the oxygen into their nostril or their mouth, they'll find that the patient is not responding, and they'll rush them to the hospital as fast as they can get them there. You, the relative of that person, may be breaking all the rules of the traffic to keep up with the ambulance to arrive at the hospital in order to hear the verdict. And when the doctor comes out after they have studied the patient, they'll come to you in very nice terms and says, "Are you the relative?" "Close relative, yeah." "I'm sorry to say that the person did not survive the attack. They were DOE. We will make all necessary forms for you. Check in our office tomorrow. But they may have to go to an autopsy just to satisfy the city."
"We'll charge you more than the funeral."
"I know that. I've been through it many times, so I should know it." Now, when the man arrives at his ambulance and they go to the patient that has a heart gallbladder attack at night, that's a gallbladder attack, thinking it's a heart attack, they normally try to give him oxygen. And so he dies from the oxygen. So, therefore, we know now it backfired.
What should they have? What should they have been given?
This technique, you know, is not for the ambulance people because you'll be violating their training.
Have them rebreathe CO2?
A little.
A little in a bag, just put a paper bag over their head and have
them. That's right.
And then we do that in respiratory when someone has hiccups. Really,
and then you give them the oxygen after that.
Donald, I've been working with heart patients for years. Post-heart, you know, once have the CABG patients, coronary artery bypass. And a lot of them get really bad hiccups, and they can't stop hiccups.
Some years ago.
Why? Do you know why they get hiccups? And what we can do about that?
They got too much gas in their tummy.
Why, they just can't seem to stop.
See, they don't know how to do this.
Try it next time.
Sure to God.
Squeeze your nose and shoot the gas the opposite way. Command performance.
Let's see, do it again. Are you used to it?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
wait till the pump recharges.
I got a question. There's a term paper on the blue. And I read that his respirations, he doesn't breathe much. I also read that he ate and that poke sticks through his body. He got so thin. And I also read that he ate one seed a month. Was it an almond seed? And did he do that? Was it almond?
Who is that?
I read Gautama Buddha. I did a term paper on it.
What?
and I read that he ate AC one time a month, and that's all he lived on. I read it.
It proved that he survived what?
Well, he survived through thick and thin. He did that in Chikamana Yoga, especially. I mean, he was a gutsy little thing, you know. He was really gutsy.
No, that's pretty safe, because how did Gautama Buddha die?
Die?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if he did die.
So Gautama Buddha.
Wasn't he poisoned?
Seed poisoned.
Hmm? Didn't somebody poison him?
No, of course. He did?
Yeah, so she's like this. Ajanto asked him, Master, why did you join the faces? And Buddha smiled again. And when he brought the food, his cousin bringing the food, he deliberately took the poison one and picked it up as to say, he ain't got no understanding, he ain't got no knowledge, he's dumb and stupid, and people only worship him because they believe that was to fool their cousin. And he put it in his mouth, ate it by that. Sit down and close his eyes. Never open them again.
Why did he do that?
He never rocked it. That freaked out your cousin. Your cousin gave him powerful poison. He deliberately put it in his mouth. Shut down.
And he just
exactly. So they took the body and did what? Kept it on them, but put gold over it.
They still have the body?
Oh, yeah.
Where?
In Tibet.
Which part?
It's one of the many gold.
Yeah, one of the temples in Tibet.
One of them, yeah.
In Lhasa. I know that, but the thing about it is, that's really interesting. Do you think the one seed that he did eat was maybe an almond when he was just eating one a month?
He didn't really have to eat, did he?
Huh?
No. He didn't really have to eat.
No, he didn't have. He was doing these things to satisfy his students.
Oh, I see.
He did it to satisfy his students, and many of his students were doubtful of these things, so he had to do something to satisfy them. But the last thing was his own cousin, who deliberately poisoned him to see. But he took the food, knowing fully what poison and edited it. But he left him and them all with the realization, you fool yourself, you had your chance, and this is it. And he didn't die. Right. Then, from then on, they decided to have a form of a service where the Buddha will always come back. And they will have this kind of a program to be in, where the things that the Buddha pondered, if he would come back within 1 year, 2 years' time, any baby that was found in the area within a certain time frame, a male baby, the monks would go out and they look for a baby born in up to 2 years, and then they find the baby, and it has to be a boy within the time when the Buddha left the body.
Not gunslinger.
I don't want to have a camera.
I need to be here.
The auntie
and I'm worried.
The baby and boy. And it's a sequence of how he picks up the pieces and put it out that will tell them
the last
that the Buddha came back to that body. And so it has been done from the time Gautama left the body. That particular ceremony is done like a
ritual. The ritual
process of these objects, how they are constantly picked up. And during the entire life of the Lama, he would always pick it up in that sequence. And whenever he decides to leave the body, and the body again comes back as a new being, it's, that is the test they do. So, now, the Vatican has a similar thing up to Pope Irene. Every pope before Pope Irene had to have the stigmata wounds on their body. And the real stigmata wounds are not in the palm, they're in the wrist. And when they formed the Vatican to riot by the Medici family, it was no longer used the way by the stigmata wounds. So the Pope Irene died, he didn't have the stigmata wounds, but he was selected by a political combine.
The Borgias and the...
Yeah, the Borgias, right. And they made him pope. From that moment on, only the stigmata wounds would appear on peasants as a contrast, and nobody could vouch for the Pope. So the Pope, when Irene passed on, they couldn't get another Pope. They had to wait. So for 3 days they were in mourning and burning all kinds of incense. And it's on the forehead of the Pope, the initial of the next Pope appears, one of the 12 names of the 12 disciples. And it begins with the first letter of the name. It appears like a welt on the forehead. And
like in Gorbachev.
And what happens is this, that when that appears,
he doesn't know it.
They would identify that person in order of the age. So they got 20 people, all having the name of Mark or Matthew or James. So out of that, if there are four of them with J, the oldest James, the oldest John is selected. Because it's in order of the age.
That doesn't even seem that to be very accurate.
Well, that's the way they had to compensate the Christian church. But in the meantime,
because it's the initial of Dan Coyle.
The stigmata wound appears in two conditions. The icon level, or what is made in Christ or made by Christ. If it's made by Christ, that is the person will one day have the stigmata wounds on the right location. In the wrist, ankle, and the wound in the... That's made by Christ. And they know that Jesus actually appeared to that person and stamped him, like a rubber stamp. Now, made in Christ, is the stigmata wounds are in the wrist. No, it's in the palm of the hand. That's the funny thing. It's in the palm of the hand, another location. They are made in Christ. They're not made by Christ. So the Vatican decided to prove out or check out to see if they can sort it out, and therefore they have prayers and they go through, and if the person will perform any miracle, they will not accept, no miracle canonize that person unless the person is dead. So they can perform miracles while they're alive, they will not be accepted. When they die, two miracles are expected to guarantee the canonization: made in Christ or made by Christ. And it must be situations where no doctor can correct. And so therefore, today now, stigmata wounds appear on people in two locations, in the palm of the hand or in the wrist. And the canonization goes on, and they identify them as made in or made by. And two miracles must occur after the death of the individual to guarantee the canonization. This is their way of compensating themselves. But a pope is selected every time it shuts down, and 3 days after they burn all the incense and everything, the wound on the head, like a welt, appears in the name of the next pope. They do not get the stigmata wound no more. This is because they refuse to recognize the traditional heritage, and they went to be political in setting up the Vatican. That's their compensation.
Does the Buddha have to be a male baby?
He doesn't have to be.
But why is it? I mean, they're only going to pick a male?
They are told to look for a baby born within that period and bring it within the 2-year span.
But how do they know they're reincarnated?
It doesn't matter. If they find a boy or a girl, they'll bring it. But the majority of them is required to take a boy, because that's what Buddha is. He was a man.
Yeah. Madhaja is the female counterpart.
They have also female Buddhists, you know, that are doing these things.
I know, but why should the Dalai Lama have to be male? How do you know he's not going to reincarnate as a woman?
Just name some heavy duty enlightened females down through history that have given teachings and not been going down.
If they find a female, they'll bring her and put her there to take the test.
More iron, I guess.
9 times out of 10, they don't find all female baby born at that time. It's usually a male baby born at that time. That's where they're from. So far. But if they find a female baby born within that time, they'll take it and test it. Now, the newest one that they found is not a Tibetan, you know. It's an Italian boy. The newest Buddha they found.
How can they have another Buddha if they have another Buddha? Are they just for a different order?
Yeah.
So they choose a Dalai Lama.
Spaghetti order.
Spaghetti Buddha. Now, let's continue and finish up
what we got. Ball.
The shunt organ is your gallbladder, your large intestine, your heart, and your kidney. They are your shunt organs. And you must keep them clean. And nature has set them up in certain temperature range or seasons. So in the spring season, you clean your large intestine out. You can give yourself a lower body evacuation service. Or in the summertime, you can clean the heart up. And the best thing for the heart is tomato juice with blackstrap molasses. So you don't have to worry about wearing or cleaning your heart because that automatically reinforces your heart.
I don't know. How does that compare to the wine with the rose in it?
That's good too. But if you try to promote wine and rose, they'll tell me that, Adana, you're promoting what?
Alcoholism.
I don't want to be accused for saying it, but I'll do it myself, but not you. If you want to join me, fine. But I don't want to say that I'm promoting it to you. But it's there available. I don't say it's not available. As long as you know them, yeah.
Why do women have candida? Say that they can't even have the molasses. Because it promotes that.
You know of any woman that comes to a therapy living on salt and sour? 9 times out of 10 that comes to me with a candida situation and living on a what? Good. That's why they call them candida. Then they start eating their umeboshi plum and their salt pickle and everything, you think they get candida? But they don't like it because why? Who likes to eat something sour? 9 times out of 10, between the man and the woman, which one wants the sour stuff?
Men.
And the women will say the only reason they're eating it is because it's sour in life.
Yeah, or when they're lunar.
When they're pregnant, they eat sour pickles.
Lunar nutrition, yeah.
And a woman will eat sour, and then she never had the problem. That's a funny joke. But because why? We tend to what? Cater the sweetness of the woman so she was.
Then they get their magnesium.
So the point that is more important is that in the morning there are certain foods that are salt, tea, sour, bitter, sweet. I need a little of each. And in the middle of the day you got the same phenomena. Nature put them there, salt, sour, and sweet.
In fact, I expected that one time.
And night time she did the same. So if you don't put in a little of them, you end up having a what? An overloading of the body. Now, 9 times out of 10, and I'm going to pin you down, that the person will tell me they have candida, they're traumatized. Because you can pinpoint the trauma before the candida showed up, and then you know why they're craving the sweet substance. You can't be out of sync with your body at no time. Unless you're traumatized. That's facts. And the trauma will make you go fast or slow. Now if you're traumatized, you're going to be one of two conditions. Either a male person, primarily the father first, or your mother, which is primarily the female person, that will aggravate you to throw your synchronicity off. But don't blame your parents for being lousy. They were designed to take that route to develop your immunity in you if you stick it out. And if you stick it out, you'll come out healthier and you'll love your parents for having provided the opportunity. But if you feel aggravated, resentful, you may end up the loser.
But they don't tell you that's how they came out to work. It's only because nature pushing them to act that role that you feel stressed out. But if you don't feel stressed out from it, even though it may seem miserable, you'll come out the winner in the end. Why? There's a statement that goes, honor thy parents. He didn't say what? Overlove them. He said honor them, right? There's a vast difference between honor and overloving them. That thou may live long in the land the Lord has given thee. Now listen to the statement and see where you fit into the picture. Why, if your parents may be aggravating to you and you don't let it bug you, what you reap? Longevity?
Longevity.
Thank you. You reap longevity. You will stick it on it and laugh. Ha ha, daddy, I know I'll make it. I'm a winner. Me out without my consent, and I can't turn and go back up your balls. But anyway, I'll make it down the road at my own speed. Energy. Right? And Mama, you throw me out, and they cut the cord, and I can't tell you not to do it. Well, I'm a winner, because I'm breathing. And even if you don't, you make it miserable for me, I'm still breathing. And now that I'm breathing, I'm the winner. Because you can't breathe.
Is that how you honor your parents?
I honor them by saying, you can breathe. So I love you for giving me the chance to be my own driver of my own car.
Baby, you can drive my car.
Good. So when they see you like that, and you're in phasing down and you're stressed out, you know something? They are the first ones in the end to make reconciliation to you. God, why?
when they see you down and...
When they see you coping with their frustrations and you're being stressed out by it, they start making reconciliation.
They wonder how you did it.
That's right.
And they want to learn.
That is right, because you blew their cool. They try every trick in the book, and they're forced to try every trick in the book without even knowing why you're trying.
Jesus said your own enemies will be those of your own family.
Congratulations, I love him.
Yeah, he says, I came not to send peace, but a sword that a man might decide.
Now listen to you, Jesus, he's telling you what? He's telling you you're going to have a shitty, hard-headed, bullshitting type of a game, but if you stick it out, you're coming out on top of the ball game. Why?
The winner.
You're a winner. But you've got to understand it and not freak out from it. You've got to be able to cope with it and not feel stressed out from it. But then, the very person who try every trick in the book is supposed to do what? Back off. Let it back off. They respect you for two things. How in the hell can you put up with every trick in the book I try to make you feel miserable? And what is it?
Daryl, this is exactly what I've been going through. I mean, I couldn't even begin to tell you. I mean, this has been really intense. If I could turn it off like a radio, I'm on my vacation in the middle of a beautiful area. And I can't turn off.
You know,
negative emotion.
You know something, buddy? It could be worse.
Oh, yeah, certainly, yeah.
Enjoy.
I mean, it didn't get me, you know. But
enjoy the immunization process set up by parents to get you strong and healthy, because if they take it away from you, you had it. You got a bum deal then. I'd rather be harassed and win. Right. And not to be harassed. No pain, no gain.
So in other words, parents who just make it easy for their kids, pay their rent, and love them all the time.
Thank you, Daddy.
I mean, I don't really like people. I don't really relate to people who aren't self-sufficient.
I got to thank my daddy.
Throw me out
and tell me, go for it. I can't go back inside of him, so I have to go for it and I'm breathing.
And my dad did.
That's the whole idea. Anyway.
$1,000.
What they all do when they kick you out of
last but not least, and
that's what they all do when they kick you out of the scrotum.
Last but not least, let's wind it up. You know the four shunt organs, large intestine, heart, kidney, and gallbladder. They're in the four seasons of the year, and you can clean them up and keep them functioning to take the overload of your body. But you have one more thing to consider.
eating on time allows you to clean the body without being stressed out by it. So, nature has provided its own automatic cleanup process. And there are only three foods that can clog you up. That's melted cheese, the fiber from the popcorn, and the carbon dioxide in the drink. Outside of that, you can get through everything on time. And there's only one style of cooking that the body doesn't accept. That's deep fry.
Like tempura?
Anytime you deep fry, you clog up your system. So for that reason, cleaning your intestinal tract with a colon irrigation around springtime is good for the body. And in the summertime, is you want to take some, make sure you're getting your tomato sauce, a juice with your blackstrap molasses for the heart. And in the autumn time, you can do a 2-day or a 3-day kidney flush. That is cranberry juice, 4 ounces of it, 4 ounces of corn oil. And you can do it for 3 days and clean out your kidneys. And once you've done it, it's doubtful you'll ever get it again because kidney stones are not that hard to recognize. They're only caused by mustard greens and collard greens eaten late at night. So, and if you eat pork fat with it, so you don't have much problem with that. The other one is gallstones, and they can only come from eating too much black pepper, and normally today now you can avoid that by putting the black pepper, the whole peppercorn in a sack, put it in the food that you want to get the zinc out of it and throw away the finished product. But all you do is put it in a little sack and tie it and drop it in and then let it boil and all the zinc comes out. You got all the minerals you want, yeah.
What's a good combination to put the black peppercorn in like that? For rice, pasta, or what?
Any food you want to give yourself the zinc from 12 midday, like 4 ounces of olive oil to 4 ounces of apple juice combined.
And that's in the winter time. The maximum is 7 days.
Adana, should you be careful what you eat the day after, like on Monday when you finish?
No, the thing is this, whenever you go off of one of these programs, do not eat solid right away. You should always eat liquid, semi-blended up into like a porridge, and then finally back into the solid so that you can chew. So that's basically how you go back to taking the food back into your system. Because your body has been temporarily reduced to liquid, less solid. So it's very natural to go back and easily start off with a soup, and you break the program. You then go back to a porridge texture. If you've got vegetables, you blend them up in the blender and take it back. Then in a couple of days, then you're back to normal. You eat regularly. No problem.
Should you eat raw food the day before?
The day before you do a gallbladder flush?
Or any kind of a liquid thing?
You do it in a liquid form or a blender form, no problem.
Okay.
Make sure that it's not. Thank you. I understand you got questions you want to ask. Go ahead, shoot them up. Congratulations.
We were talking about yesterday about the light, and it wasn't this morning. I can't recall, but I really like that you were talking about the white light, and I'd like to know if you can, if you some of your experiences with the white light, and maybe working with other people with light.
The light is inside of you already. All you gotta do is sit down and watch it.
So how long it takes to reveal itself, that's all you got.
And have you personally have a...
May I fall off a building to get mine? I'm hard-headed, I can't believe. So that's why I fall off a building and spend 50 minutes in the soil. So I died, and I made sure there ain't no devil sitting down waiting for me or no God waiting for dead people. But I found one thing about being dead. That nobody breathes here. And even though I saw the atoms inside of my head of light, I can't use it until I breathe. So from that standpoint, as a hard-headed son of a gun, I decided to pick up my body and live. So as far as my experience goes, I can't recommend it to nobody.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very, very honest.
But I have to go through it that way. But if you sit down and close your eyes and you're persevering, eventually you will experience the internal journey of the sperm back to the ovum. We call that the death experience. There's no other death experience. Every other thing is just a bunch of geometry to interface or satisfy that particular memory. So if you think you're going up a tunnel, is your body throwing you out as a sperm, but you don't know it? And if you hear a voice shouting, is then you make enough for mama. So you're going to shoot you out in the pile of fluid. You can't come around and go back. And then you're going to see a big light up the road. That's the ovum waiting to bite you in the head. But you don't know it because your eyes can only see looking. It can't see what is. So since it only see what is in front and not what is, it doesn't recognize it's a sperm moving out. But the memory is a journey of observation. Right up to the light, which represents the ovum. And the light is the mouth of the ovum locking down on the head as an ignition clamp. And you go through the mental anguish of being swirling and lost in the light. Because you don't have any way to relate to what is called non-geometrical geometry. But a strange phenomenon will occur in there. You don't die. And you're here, and see that you've always been atoms, and that God has become you. You don't become God. And the you of you doesn't exist. But if you wake up and you don't panic from the experience, you'll feel horny all day. And if you do panic, the worst that can happen to you is fall asleep all through the time till next day. So the worst that can happen to you, you fall asleep and totally forget where you are. And the best that can happen is that you wake up and you're horny all over. So you're thrown back into the very same laws of physics. Go forth, Xerox yourself, and have dominion over the universe. If you go forth to Xerox yourself, that's what the horniness is all about. And dominion is, you're an adult, you can't be a child, because the experience occurs in an adult body. So you're accepting living in the world, not running for it. No. Even Brother Jesus may be standing there looking at you while you come up. They're not going to breathe to you. In the end, you're going to say, what took me so long to wake up? But if you do understand it, and you go through the journey of the sperm bonding the ovum inside of your head, and you open your eyes and you look around, you're going to laugh. Why? You're breathing. If you aren't breathing, you'll be looking at your body lying on the bed, and everybody'll be crying all over you, and you'll be saying to them, "But I ain't dead. I'm right over here. Don't you see me?" And no, nobody will see you, but they'll do things with their face like that, because while you're talking, the air may be buzzing in their ears to make them feel kind of miserable, something the cool air in the room, which is you, not the hot air, not turning cold air. They don't see you, they may feel you. And you're busy trying to explain that you are here. You want to talk to them. You're telling them, you haven't gone any place, you're here. And in the end, what? They'll bury the body, and the lawyers come to pay respects to it, totally oblivious of you, as happy as standing in the room. For those that have eyes to see,
let them see
and have ears to hear, let them hear, you know what they're going to do? If they see you, they're going to say, breathe. And if they hear you, they're going to say, breathe. So, you realize you got a chance to start all over again in another body to breathe. So reincarnation is a guaranteed opportunity to breathe.
What about the thing called the ascension?
The ascension?
Mm-hmm.
What ascent? What ascent? The only thing that can ascend in you is the fact that you breathe and you don't rot.
Okay.
Then you ascend it.
Right.
If you breathe, they'll keep you. And if you don't rot, they'll keep you. But if you breathe and you don't leave the body for them to examine, they're going to be bugged. That's really applying the ascension. And if you appear to them and eat a little with them, and they photograph you no matter how they try, and it doesn't record, that really bugs the hell out of them. Then you can come and go at will and visit them. Then they say you're ascending. Where?
To a higher, a different sonic frequency, a different action. I don't know.
Well, that's how we like to explain it to ourselves. We're better than those that we left behind, or we're worse than those we left behind, or we're the same. But we don't know. Those who we left behind don't know how to work it.
Well, it's like you say about the angels. There they are, and they would give everything they have to be able to breathe. So, because they said it's master always, they're always around us because we breathe.
If you met somebody,
let's say Saint Germain,
he does drive his own car.
I believe he does.
You don't drive your own car.
I know.
Then what is the difference in both? You see the same car, got it going. Who has the car gets the right to drive it?
I know. Well, I've got it.
In your car, you drive it, right?
Yeah.
In his car, he's doing what?
He's driving it.
So?
The difference of plane or geometry or size.
He drives his own car, you drive your own car, you're both drivers. But if he invites you to his car, are you going to be a passenger or a driver?
Well,
9 times out of 10, he ain't going to invite you to his car. 9 times out of 10, you're going to make a stupid attempt to invite him into your car.
That's true.
And then he's going to come in temporarily to prove to you what? That he exists. Then he says, don't call me back next time because I don't want to use your car, I got my own car. A lot of people I met, they don't like me when I come around because why? I show that each time I play, they don't talk. So Saint Germain don't come around and nobody has a walk in to talk to me. Tell him this what happened.
Oh, yes. Once upon a time, we went to a seance type thing. Mm-hmm. And this spirit was talking to this man. He could contact various people, including he claimed he could get Rampa. So Adano had told me that no spirit could hang around when he came around. So right away, just at one time, he said, excuse me, can I ask a question? And the spirit said, certainly. As a man talking in this voice, and as an altered voice, certainly. And Adano said, who are you? And he said, I am Rampa. Who are you? And Adano said, Adano. And the spirit said, I gotta go now. Came back. Exactly. That was the whole conversation.
Well,
I gotta go now.
He wasn't the driver of his own car. He forced him to become the driver of his own car. It's like that. There, San Diego has this place called The Reader, and there's this crazy guru called, what's that? Swami Beyond Beyond. He says all these people are trying to have channeling of people coming into their bodies, and everyone who's seeking enlightenment, it's trying to leave there. And so I can't.
Well, see, some people want a free ride. Others want to be used as a free ride.
Instead of accepting the
body.
Probably be a clear advantage to talking and leaving the body too, wouldn't it?
Sure, it would.
But it's really time, right?
You see, they don't want to take the journey of the uterine canal because they're not in a carbon-based body. They're in a silicon or sulfur methane body. And the opportunity to experience breathing is a temporary condition of promising you they'll do something for you. And your ego will let go, temporarily shut down, and they use your body to experience breathing. So this is what we call using the other person's powers or their permission. And so that's basically what you do. You leave them to be using your mechanism for them to feel comfortable that they can cope with a carbon-based body. But they can't hang around permanently no matter how they try. But they can always periodically tap you to tell you they are wrong, and you'll always feel proud enough to say it, and so you leave yourself more and more weaker or vulnerable to let them into tapping on you.
Yeah.
So, we're not here to condemn them.
Yeah.
All you did to yourself is make yourself a biological telephone booth for them. All they're doing is tapping on your breathing apparatus so they get adaptable to carbon dioxide going out of the body and oxygen coming in. So they get familiar. But if they did decide to go to the uterine canal and really tap in, the familiarity of working on your body would give them the incentive. You already made the plunge.
We might have been in Washington for a while before.
You don't know? I'm not going to say you might not have been, but the point is this. Separately, so if we were or were not, right at this moment in time, understanding is the best friend and not belief. If you understand, you will stay healthy and you make it the butterfly hood. If you don't understand, then they use you until you feel fed up with them.
Yeah, that's the way like I got to like with the Summit Lighthouse, because like a member of this Roman Olympic prophet, I've been to meetings since 1973 and I've heard a thousand dictations from Hotel of Burgundy Jesus, like Angel Michael, Mother Mary, Kuan Yin, Draw Cool. I've heard lots of dictations, I've got stacks of. And like, I got to a point where I just said, you know, I looked around and I said, gee, I just don't feel like I really, you know, want this or something. You know, just didn't seem like I was really developing. And you know, I felt, you know, why should I get answers from other people like that? And it wasn't really doing me any good. And so, just being somewhere else.
And so?
Well, no, I just try to go intuitively. I mean, you know, I use my own.
Well, let's ask yourself, if you try to be intuitive, is it to know tomorrow or to cope it now?
Right now.
And if you cope it now, you don't need intuition. Who needs intuition if they're coping now? People who don't feel confident want to know tomorrow so they seek intuition.
Wait a minute.
Is God breath or is God knowledge?
Breath.
I haven't found God as knowledge.
Then what's the understanding?
Understanding is the ability to turn the key in the car.
That's just the breath?
That's knowledge.
We already have that.
Oh, then that tells you you have the right to drive the car. That's where they give you the key, they give you the certificate or the license, and they give you the car and the ownership and the dealer, and you drive your car on your own.
What's the difference between understanding
you
have and
understanding
you have? Self-understanding. I don't breathe for you, so what have you done now? You want to know tomorrow, or you want to live now?
You're a driver, he's a chauffeur and a mechanic.
Okay.
feel there comes a time, you know, all these masters in the story, there was a time that all of them stopped all the reading, and they all were whatever they were, and you know, to the fullness of whatever they are were, and they just didn't have a need for
No, they waited for us to accept what we are. And as soon as we accept what we are, they allow us to continue acting as we are.
They mean the elements?
Yeah.
Elements. They allow us.
And the individual form that you call a master is only your opportunity to realize where you are. Because nobody is your master, and you're going to be the studio.
Right.
You are your own master of what?
Self.
Yeah. There's no self.
Of the element, of the environment?
No, you're a master of breathing.
Oh.
Because nobody breathes for you. Now, if you breathe, all the 144 elements that hold that body together keep what? Staying together. And if you don't breathe, the 144 elements will do what? Separate? So then, what is your master other than to do what? Breathe to keep it together? Now, when do you want to experience opportunity? Tomorrow or now? So then, if you breathe now, the 144 elements allow you to experience what? Opportunity. Opportunity doesn't say what it is. It's unrehearsed already. It's brand new. It's an opportunity to what? Breathe. Yeah, to live. There's not to live. You breathe. And in breathing, you have the opportunity to act. And in order to act, you must cope with it, not panic from it. So all life is action. There's no such thing as actionless life. All action. All action is love. See this love thing? As a result of
Williams.
Reached fruition here, huh?
Right? Good. And all love is service. And all service is giving. And all giving is freedom. And all freedom is now. And all now is life. And all life is action. So where are we going? Back right where we started. From our nose to our hose.
Okay.
Good, see? Action. The nose makes you have action. Look at that. Look at that. Can you see any people are breathing ready? Great.
Is there a specific way that you consciously breathe during the day that's different now than before?
My friend, do you breathe? Does the body teach you to breathe? Or the air pushes itself to your nostril and allows you to stay alive?
Well, when I took yoga and I had a yoga instructor, he told me that I was breathing all wrong. And he was just trying to teach me how to breathe automatically. He said I wasn't breathing right. And I never could get it, so I just gave up on it. I said, I can't do this. And I just breathe the way I breathe. I don't even know it's right or wrong. I'm just breathing. Well, I'm fine. I don't have pneumonia. I feel good. I can run.
So what did he try to tell you?
I think he's cool.
No, he was trying to tell you, stop thinking about it. So when you stop thinking of it, your body did it.
Maybe so.
That's what everybody's got to learn sooner or later. That the person who teaches the knowledge isn't teaching you anything that they themselves didn't learn. But the only way they can make you do it is what? Make you feel stupid. That's the best way to learn. Then when you feel stupid, you quit interfering with your ability to do it right. You've been always doing it right, but you're blocking it by thinking you got to do it right.
Yeah.
And in actuality, when you think you got to do it right, you block it.
That's how people solve problems.
Right. So by telling them, oh, you're lousy, then they say, oh my God, Well, that's exactly the technique they use. You quit worrying about how to do it right, you end up doing it right.
Yeah, Zen masters do that.
Well, now you see the kind of
magic matter.
Well, I was Zen when I was
some other songs out.
You know where it comes from?
I was just reading to see who the name
was. The zenith of anything is what?
The highest point.
No, that's when you quit
the talking. The right to make
the highest problem. Point of anything is
to stop talking. Better than alone.
As long as you keep talking, you haven't arrived yet.
Put that on the
when you arrive, you don't talk.
And when
you don't talk, you live. And when you live, you breathe.
It's 6 hours.
And when you breathe, you yawn. And when you yawn, you swallow. And when you swallow, you laugh.
Okay.
And then you always feel
nothing
better than a jackass. You know, a jackass is always laughing in the water.
Church of God. Uh-huh.
I think
we're hoping to get
what song does a jackass make?
Oh,
congratulations. Yeah?
Yeah. You go
it's known as the oral part.
You should come to Nashville and
so that's the end of the joke, and we all begin to do what? Fart through our mouths, breathe through our nose, enjoy our ears, and trickle our
toes.
You go
left on Knoxville, then you go left
and big boys will tell you, be like little kids.
Be like, okay,
little kids. Your daddy don't want any
upright
know-it-all jerk. He already know it all, so you're going to tell him you know it all. Why don't you enjoy, let him enjoy himself being a jerk and he's a baby boy inside of himself. But our parents don't like us, because why? They were forced to educate you, make sure that you know how to function, and therefore you're going to be respected. And then when you turn to be a super deluxe baby boy or girl, they feel they got left out.
I don't think so.
Be like one of these means like a kid. Having no ego, full of curiosity. They don't like it because they don't get enough. See, fun enough. How much fun can you get enough of? Can you get enough of? You never get enough of fun because it's enough.
Now we're back to the
tickle. Yeah, right. There you go. But you see, the thing is so comical. What's comical about it is that now it doesn't have tomorrow. Now it doesn't think of tomorrow. And now makes you feel like incompetent. Because you don't know what's coming up the test.
I feel pretty tough
right now. But do you feel safe enough?
I do. Right now.
Right now I do.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it.
I love learning these things.
Enjoy yourselves. It's later than you think. Enjoy yourselves. They never get thin. The years go by. They almost still the drink. Enjoy yourselves. Enjoy yourselves before they stink. And they stink, don't blame nobody. Blame themselves.
Don, what's the difference between being afraid and being scared?
Ah, my friend. Afraid is to worry before it happens. Scared is taken by surprise that you may cope or you may not cope.
Afraid is like they live a rope all apart.
But I'd rather be scared than afraid. Because I don't know, and I'm taken by surprise, if my ability to cope or not to cope, if I get my ego out of the way, I may come out a winner. If I get my ego in the way, I may end up a loser. So I'd rather take a gamble with being scared and afraid. Knowing that prior to being scared, I coped. And if I cope, now I'm still around to cope with moisture. Therefore, I ain't worried anymore if anything comes up to harass me. But if I'm afraid, I'll be digging a hole to crawl in, never finding out what the hell is making me afraid.
You need iron.
So for that matter, I take what Brother Jesus says, the peace I give, the world don't give. The world gives you 6 feet under the ground and you're afraid you're not going to get by, so you crawl in and lie down and die. And if I'm scared because Brother Jesus says he gave me the power to cope with it, so whatever it helps me, that's how I live the moment. So I live the moment this way. I don't know if it's going to come or not. Then I got to worry if my pastor will get wet or not. That's the whole essence. So you test yourself every day if you fart or you piss. Between which one of the two will come out.
Mm-hmm.
Now if you didn't fart, you may piss. And then you really goof it. If you didn't piss, you may fart. But if you didn't fart or piss and a lump of Lord came out,
Lord.
Well, that's the name of the game. But you know you're testing yourself every second.
Yeah,
so test yourself. Don't be afraid to test yourself.
What did you say about clapping? What you said, like when you raise your hands and you like this, that's the form of like. I don't know. You said something about that.
Yeah.
Intentions and aggressive behavior.
You're like, testing yourself.
When you do this, you stand and you walk into a room and, oh, I know, people aren't sure you're coming into a room, so just inadvertently, you just stand in the back like people hanging on you.
Afterwards, start back.
Now, what does that do?
That straightens out your frequency.
That's it. You
line up the cope and
take off. Right. So people.
Congratulations. After all, you've been on the comfort club.
Taking all this.
So what's happening to you, big brother?
Confrontation.
What's happening with you?
Oh, he's
going
to
get it from me and Diana.
Well,
it's
interesting.
I went to the beach today. I came here. Some of these beaches, we had to walk down these cliffs in order to get down. So when Fernando asked me about being afraid and scared, I got halfway down, and then I became afraid because the footing was real unsure, and all it takes is one little slip with your foot and you don't walk down, you go rolling down. And I was watching people go down these cliffs with surfboards and all sorts of things they were carrying, and I would watch them, and you could see every foot they took, they were really being very careful. And I had this backpack on my back, and I just said, the heck with it. I threw it down the hill and I just said, I want to balance this by myself. But I felt really fortunate I made it down, because I was really afraid that I was going to perhaps roll down the cliff. So I found somebody down there below on the beach and found a better way to go back up. I don't want to have to get my luck on the way back up.
Interesting, huh?
But I mean, I was afraid. I was one. You didn't have any margin for error. There's no room for mistake there at all. And the people, you could see, when they put their foot down, they would try to see if it would be stable, and there's no way of knowing it was going to be stable after they put pressure on it, because it's all sandy. And I couldn't believe these people walking down. They must have had great balance on little cliffs and be in a hospital. So I just enjoyed the beach. I haven't went to the beach for a while.
Point out something else to you. You didn't do it yesterday. You did it today.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody was to tell you a month ago on a Sunday you'd be coming down a mountain, would you accept it? Not knowing what type of condition the mountain was?
Perhaps I would, perhaps I wouldn't, I don't know. It depends on the timing or the condition or who said it to me.
So now, think of one moment. If all the details of today were written a month ago and handed to you when you came down the mountain, step by step, what would you say?
If you said it to me or someone else said it to me?
No, somebody else said it to you.
I would... perhaps not believe it.
I don't know, I'll believe it when I see it. And go through it.
It took me a little while to get my courage up to go down this path. I saw people, I watched a little bit, observed some people go down and come up, and I won't go down it again, that's for sure.
Friend,
yeah?
Timing of the daily events in your life is the evidence that creative intelligence directs your existence. So you cannot relive no instant in your life that you know of twice. And as long as you're breathing at this moment, every other instant that you live is intended to be lived. It could be worse. Never to have the chance or muck it up in the process. But you live. The most important moment of your life, walking down a mountain. Are you living at
home? Good seeing you.
Good seeing you.
And kisses and hugs, everybody.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
I'm just surprised why people would want to take that chance. To me, it doesn't seem worth it, because there's no margin for any mistake. One little mistake, and then your body is going to be all bruised up.
Well, look at it another way.
It doesn't seem worth it, then. Easier way is to get down, not that one particular way.
One leaves, one comes in.
There's Liza. All right.
Do I know you?
No.
I'm going to. Good to see you.
Hi, Liza.
Hello.
You're bitter.
The question is, my friend, it is not if you do it or you don't do it. That moment of time came for you to live.
But that moment, why would that moment be different from any other moment?
No two moments are the same. Show me how.
Yeah, but each moment gives you an opportunity to live. In that respect, why would one moment be different from the other?
Mm-hmm. Each opportunity to live is a different
experience.
Mm-hmm. So, when the time is for you to experience walking down a mountain, you'll walk down it. When the time for you to climb up a fiery pole, you'll climb up it. When the time for you to plunge in the water to bump your head against a rock, you'll do it. When the time for you to come out in a pile of grass and lie down and enjoy the sun, you'll do it. But not before it presents itself. Even though maybe precariously arranging itself to occur, you will always live it in the moment. Now, did you expect to be in San Diego on a Sunday afternoon to see some slant-eyed guy in the month of August?
Not until I spoke ahead.
That's what we're talking about, the moment. See what I'm talking about? Each moment has its own particular opportunity.
Took me 14 years to learn how to play in the winter. In the winter for 14 years.
And if you look back, this fellow here went into winter yesterday, went tomorrow into spring and came back today in summer.
Yeah.
That's a fast journey he made.
Yeah.
and hasn't lost the ability to fight. Think of that. We went back into winter yesterday. And he went forward into spring tomorrow. And he returned here in summer today. Look how fast he went around the universe in three different seasons. Yesterday, tomorrow, and today. He already went tomorrow. And he came back today.
We
are always going there, but there is always where your nose is.
How can you go there? I already have gone tomorrow.
Well, that's what I said. You went where his nose is, and that's where he has to go, there.
You said he went
yesterday into winter. You went in tomorrow as spring. And he came back today as summer.
Yesterday, then tomorrow. Yesterday, tomorrow. Did you know that the word breathe has more combinations of words than any other word I've ever seen in my life? It's got a fair enough of looking at for the past 5 years. The word breathe has be after the theater in it, the eat the air, the he be at the beat, or beat whatever it was. I'm doing words with it. Those letters in the word breathe form many, many different words.
Except one word.
Well,
it doesn't have an element. It doesn't have a lot. It just
forms a lot of
words.
It will form every word except one word. If you breathe, you are what? Congratulations. You don't breathe a bear, you start over again. So how is San Francisco? I see the breath of filling your lungs.
It's not a question,
yeah. Yeah, it's all over there.
Coming in, I think. Didn't see you very much.
Did a great job on you.
Oh, thank you.
You drove all the way. I was just up from here. You drove all day. You didn't drive all the way.
Holly, go ahead. Did you drive down today?
Lovely, I never knew you did lip toe. Mm-hmm. Lipstick on the toe.
Yeah.
Very beautiful lipstick on the toe. Oh, that is interesting.
Did you
do it? Did you put any cayenne pepper in it?
Yeah.
And?
Enjoy it.
What more can you do with it?
You can't cut it out. The cayenne pepper will do its job. So it'll be all right. And if you panic, no good.
Could you
cut your leg and then the muscle inside?
Can
you use it on the
muscle
too to pull
together?
So you wouldn't have
to stitch it the muscle
and stuff it? What if
it's totally cut in half?
I'll stitch it together and stitch it. But then you have to have some means to keep it together. I'll stitch it. And then I'll get myself a thin machine. Polarize electrical current and repolarize the bone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the bone's not
good
enough. The muscle is
good.
If you cut the muscle, you don't cut the bone.
Wait, just
you don't cut the bone?
No.
No problem.
Down my face, boy. Yeah.
If you cut the muscle, you throw the cayenne pepper. If you cut the bone and the muscle, you throw the cayenne pepper and you still trap it. You don't want to sew it. Just trap it.
So you just throw a gob on there and it'll
seal
everything.
Yeah, that's right.
And it'll
still,
it won't fall apart.
You just tape it and put the electrical machine to repolarize it. You can even put a cast aft if you want. So you can move it easily, but you will send electrical parts to remagnetize the field.
And then you go eat what?
I know what you do for bone, I don't know
what you do. Well, that's what we're talking, it's the bone.
If it's not a bone,
I just throw the kayak up on it. There's nothing to worry about it. You would worry, I wouldn't.